This year is sponsored for Zuchus for the Bochar Bar Mitzvah Shmuel Chaim Ben Rachel. You should have a lot of success. Okay, the case is...
If you saw the email, is that someone had asked the person to watch some of his property, among them a passport. Why would he be watching his passport? They're traveling, and he asked this person to watch it for him.
And unfortunately, the case was that the shomer was poshaya, so that's not an issue. It was a real pshia, not just a shikha, like a real pshia. The shomer was poshaya, and he had made a kinyan, and he had accepted upon himself that he would be a shomer. All the rules that we need to be a proper shomer. And he was a shomer of the passport, but he lost the passport through negligence. So is he chayiv? Of course he should be chayiv, but the issue is, and before we start discussing it, let's just see the issue. The issue is that there's a rule that there's no halachas of shmira by a shtar. Right, and what we're going to discuss tonight is a passport a shtar, is a passport a document. So before we talk about it, let's see the Gemara. We'll see the Mishnah of the Gemara, and then we'll see what the rules of a shtar are, and then we'll see if this fits into it. Okay, the Mishnah in Bar Metzia says, we had this Mishnah last year, Eile Devarim Shein Lahem Ona'ah, there are certain things that are not subject to the law of Ona'ah, price fraud. Ha'avadim, slaves, shtaros, notes, documents, hakarkos, land, hegdeshes and hektish. So if someone sells those not at market price, they're not subject to the rules of Ona'ah, which state that if it's exactly a sixth off, you have to pay the difference or return it. If it's more than a sixth, it's a mekach batel. If it's less than a sixth, it's a mechila. So a shtar, evin, and karka are not subject to the rules of Ona'ah that we discussed last year, whether it might be that if it's twice as much, it could be. Right? That was those cases we talked about selling houses at inflated values. Then the Mishnah continues, Eilan Tashlumi Kefil, someone steals him, the rules of Kefil don't apply, you don't have to pay a double penalty. Below Tashlumi Arba Famisha, if it's a hektish cow, and someone steals in a shech that he doesn't have to pay four or five, that knas. And what's Nogeya us, Shomer Chinam Eino Nishba, if a Shomer Chinam is watching an Eved, a Shtar, Karka, or hektish, he does not have to make a Shvua. But no, say Sacha, and if he's a Shomer Sacha, Eina Misham, you won't have to pay for the loss through Geneva or Aveda. So we're still talking about Shomer Chinam, so we'll focus on the Shomer Chinam. That if a Shomer Chinam, someone is watching a Shtar, and that's we'll focus on the Shtar. If someone's watching a Shtar, a document, and it gets lost, it gets stolen, he doesn't have to make a Shvuah. He doesn't have to make a Shvuah. He doesn't have to swear that it got lost. He can just say it got lost, it got stolen, and he's pocketed. Like the rules of Shvuah, Sashem, don't apply to Shtar or Kark. Okay? Where the Gemara brings a Raya, Gemara and Dafnun Zayin on the days. Menoh and Emili, where do we know this from? Where do we know a Shomer Chinam is pater from making a Shvuah, from swearing, if a Shtar, a Karka, a Hektish got lost? The Tana Rabbanu, because we have a Braisa, the Pasuk by Shomer Chinam says, Ki yitein ish areyehu kesef o kelim v'gunam yibes ho ish. Right, that's the Pasuk. If someone gives his friend kesef, money, or kelim, utensils, and it gets stolen. So the Gemara makes a klal drasha. Right, a klal drasha means that you have a general term, and then you have a specific term, and then you have a general term. So over here, the first part of the pasuk says titein al ish al reyehu. When a person gives something to his friend, that's a klal. It doesn't say what he gave him. He gave him something. Then it specifies kesev okelim prat. Kesev, he said it's money or a kelim utensils. Now it's specifying the thing that he gave the friend to watch is a shomer chinam. V'guna beis ish gets stolen. What gets stolen? It doesn't specify what it is. It seems that's another generalization. That's chazer v'cholah. There's a new klal now. So what we have is a klal prado klal. We have a general term, the beginning of the pasuk. We have a frat, the middle of the pasuk, which specifies kesev or kelim. And then we have the conclusion, guna beis ish. It doesn't specify again. It doesn't say guna pakes kesev or kelim beis ish. It says it gets stolen. So that's a klal. Klal prado klal. So the rule is, whenever the Torah uses such a system, it means to say that the halacha is limited to things that are like the prat. not only the prad, because then it'd be klal of prad. Ein b'klal el masha b'prad. A klal prad klal means that second klal adds on things that are similar to those specified items. What things are similar to kesef and kelim? So we say like this: ma prad mefurash davar hametalta b'gufa mamon. The prat, the specified items, money and kelim, are specific in that they are movable and they have intrinsic value. They're guf mamon. Their guf is worth money. Money is worth money, and a utensil is worth money. A spoon is worth money. A bowl is worth money. You could do something with it. So I've called davar mitata the guf mamon. So anything that can be moved and has intrinsic value, it's guf mamon. That is subject to the rules of a shamachinim having to make a shvua for gneiv or aveda that he should be potter. Yotze karka shenim itatzel. That excludes karka that's not movable, right? Karka is not like kasev or kain. You can't move it. Yotze avadim and slaves also are excluded shuk shul karkos. They're compared to land, right? That's all over Shas. We have a Hekish, that karka is like Evan is like karka, so they're excluded also. We're not going to talk about it tonight, but there's an interesting shayla in the poskim. Does that include anyone, any person? Suppose you give someone your child to watch, right? Will that babysitter have a din of a shomer if something chas v'shalom happens to the child? Right? Is the babysitter a shomer? So someone to say that, like that. It's not just avodim that are hukash lakarkos. It's all people that are hukash lakarkos. But that's something just to think about. We're not speaking tonight. Then yatsu shtaros, and that's tonight's subject. Yatsu shtaros, documents are excluded. Shafa bishametatul, and even though you can move them around, ain guf and mamet, they have no intrinsic value. A shtar chov, that's pashas what we're talking about. A shtar chov means that Reuven owes me $1,000, and I have a note written by him that says that I can collect from him that $1,000. So this paper is not worth a pruta. I could use it to stuff a bottle, but let's assume that that's not worth a shava pruta. And if it is, I'm not interested in just getting a penny back. I want to get the $1,000 back from the shomer who lost it. But since it has no value in itself, it only can be used as a means for me to collect money, but it itself has no use. I can't use it like a spoon, a bowl or money. I can't buy anything with it. It's just a means for me to collect. So that's excluded from the din of shomer. So if a shomer loses a shtar, he doesn't have a shomachin. He doesn't have to make a shvua to be potter for that loss, or if it gets stolen or anything else, that he would have to make sure he's potter completely. And hekdeshus, finally hekdesh amakrari yehu. The pasuk says reyehu at the end, and that is excludes Reyeyo Velo Shel Hektish, only his friend, a person, not Hektish. Hektish is not a friend. That's not a person. That's not an equal. So that's what we're going to talk about. The Gemara has excluded a shtar from the rules of Shomer Chinam, and this is Paskin by Shulchan Aruch. We have on the other side of the handout Simon Shinalos Tuf Aleph Shalosh Dinim Hamurim B'Torah Barba Shomer. The three rules that apply to the four Shomerim. Einam, right, that we said many times, a shomer chinam is potter from everything except shia. A shomer sachar and a socher is chayiv also in gneiv of aveda, and a shol is chayiv on everything except for meis machlus halacha. So those three rules that are stated by shomrim do not apply, einam lo b'karkos, they don't apply to real estate, which also includes houses, according to most poskim. Below ba'avadim, it doesn't apply to slaves. Below b'shtaros, it does not apply to shtaros. Now, if you notice, the Mishnah just said that you don't make a shvur on it. And the Shulchan Aruch says, chen peturin af mipshia. You're also potter from shia. Right? Tosus in the Gemara said that, even though the Mishnah says, shomer chinam, ein nishba, but shomer chinam doesn't swear, Tosus near du'ad in deinem eshalim. If he would have been a posheya, he wouldn't have to pay either. And he brings a raya from the Gemara. Well, you could say a noser socher doesn't have to pay for gneiv of aveda, but for pshia, maybe he would have to pay. And Osher Mechino also would have to pay for pshia. And what's the svara? The Rambam says the way they understand the Rambam is because it's like a mazik. If I'm
if I'm watching it and it gets stolen or lost, I might not have done a good job watching it. But if I'm negligent, maybe that's almost like mazik. We said in the past, it's not a real mazik, because a real mazik is you take the object and you put it somewhere where if it gets stolen, where it could get stolen. But maybe if I'm just negligent, I forget to lock the door and I leave it there without locking the door, maybe that's called a mazik. And that's
through the Rambam holds and the Shulchan Aruch brings a yesh mechayiv v'pshiya.
Right, he says, and the Mishnah is meduya. The Mishnah says, Shomer chinam einu nishba. Shomer anosi sacha einu mishali. Right, he seems to, the Mishnah seems to be talking about Geneva of Aveda, it got stolen. And he's saying, well, the Shomer chinam won't have to make a shvuah on that, and the anosi sacha won't have to pay. But suppose there was a pshia, so then it could be that the Shomer chinam will have to pay for that. So it's a machlokas rishonim.
The Shulchan Aruch first brings those that say he's patur from pshia. The Ramah says Hachi Kaimalan. The Ramah says we pass him like that for his Shita. And then the Shulchan Aruch concludes Yesh Mechayvim B'Shia. Some say you're Chayiv B'Shia. Now the rule generally is when the Shulchan Aruch says a first, says we've spoken in the past when he brings two Shitas, he says Yesh Amim this, Yesh Amim that, he passes like the second Shita. But where the first one he didn't say Yesh Amim, he says V'chein Peturin Af M'Shia, they're part of M'Shia. Then he says, Yesh Amim that they're chayiv. So the rules of Shulchan Aruch are that he holds like the first lashon that he said stam. Right? He says, Peturin af mipshia. There are those that are chayiv mipshia. So the Klolim in the Piskei of Shulchan Aruch would say that Shulchan Aruch is passing that he's part of mipshia. The Ramah also says he's part of mipshia. And we would say it's an upshot case that he'd be part of mipshia. The problem is, we saw, I mentioned briefly last week, the Shach wants to prove, there's a long Shach in Simen Ayin Vav that holds that he wants to defend the Rambam and say he should be Chayiv on Pshia. So it's not so simple, but what he puts it, he says most poskim hold that he is part of the Pshia. Right, so at this point what we have from our Gemara is that if I am watching as a Shomer Chinam, I'm watching a Shtar Chov, that's what we're talking about, so then I'm going to be pater, certainly from Geneva Aved, I don't even have to make a Shvuah, but even if I'm Poshaya, once it's a Machol Gazasa, I could always say Kimli, I hold like those that hold that I'm pater from Shia, and I certainly would be relying on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, the two Mamos holds that way, and I would be pater. So that brings us to our question, how about if I was watching a passport? Right? I was bringing home the passport for someone, and I was negligent, I left it in the front of the car unlocked, something else I left in negligently, and it got taken, would that be the same as a shtar? That's tonight's question. But the way we approach it is, first I thought we'd take a survey of different types of paper. We'll look at all different types of paper, and then at the end we'll see where we think passports fit in. So the first paper that we're going to talk on, the second side of the handouts where I have them, the first thing we're going to talk about is a shtar kinyan. If you have a deed, you bought your house, and you have a paper, a deed, that proves that you own your house. Right, so what would that be? Right, you have a deed that proves that you own the house. So that, from the Divrei Gaonim, he says, clearly brings Tshuva Sheila Shalom, that says, if a shomer, I asked you to watch my deed for me, and the deed, you were negligent, the shomer was negligent about it, so the Sheila Shalom passes, that'll be pater. Because there's no din of shomer by a shtar, and he says even if it's pshia, he goes by with the ramah and the tumim that hold that a shomer is pata by pshia. And here he goes a step further than a shtar chov. We know that we spoke about this a few years ago. If I have a shtar chov that gives me the right to collect $1,000 from someone, we spoke about a lottery ticket gives me the right to collect money, and you take it and burn it up, so you're a mazik and you're a chayiv because of garmi. Right, we talked about the different types of causative damage. A person's normally not chayiv for causative damage, for groma, but if it's a garmi, it's a direct damage, and it's bari hazek, it's for sure going to result in damage, and it's immediate, so then the person is chayiv. So if I have this document that allows me to collect $1,000, and you burn it up, as a mazik, you're chayiv. Right, that's what we spoke about a few years ago. But I think we said this same to Rigaonim. If I have a deed that proves that I own my house, and you go and burn it up, so you're going to certainly be positive in such a case. Because that's not like
you're not stopping me from collecting $1,000 from anyone. What are you doing when you burn up my deed? You are preventing me from, in case someone a few years from now or tomorrow, whenever it is, makes a claim and says, that house is not yours, it's really my house. So I pull out the deed and prove that it's my house. So now that I don't have a deed, what happens is, I'm going to have to, if someone makes this claim 5 years, then I'm going to have to quickly go to the records department and get another copy of the deed, pay whatever I have to pay for it, to prove that it's my house. So that's not called a hezek. That's not bari hezek. That's not for sure going to cause any damage. Even that $10 that it might cost me, because who says anyone's going to make a claim against my house? It's not for sure anyone. It might even be unlikely. And if they do, so at that point in time, I'll go and spend the $10 to get the deed. So Divrei Gaonim says that if it's a shtar kinyan, a proof, some document that proves something, so that's even less tangible than a shtar chov that we started talking about. If it's a debt document and you burn it up, not a shomer. If you're a shomer, you're potter. Right, you were negligent in washing it, then you're potter. But if you went and burned it up, so then you're chai, because that's garmi. But if it's a shtar kinyan, if it's a deed, something that just proves that I own something, so in that case, if you go and burn it up, you'll still be potter, because it doesn't necessarily cause me a damage. It's not bari hazeka, it's not a clear damage, so you'd be potter for such an act. So that's simple. It could. So then it's not bari hazeka. Then you know it might. That's a garmi. It's only you only chai for garmi if it's direct. It's for sure. Otherwise, it's just garama. If you chai b'dini adam, and you'll get another one. It's just in case you can't get another one, it'll be a bigger hazik. If you can, it'll be a smaller hazik. But it's not. It's only a garama. The next issue is a check. Right? Is a check a shtar or is a check real cash? So Pesachei Choshen says that he thinks that a check is, even though you could sell a check, it's still a shtar. And that's what he says. If you recall, last year we had a whole shiur about a check, and we used this sefer that has a kuntres, had check b'halacha, and he said that there were three ways to look at a check. The first way is the way Pesachei Choshen seems to be looking at it, and saying that a check literally just means pay to the order of so-and-so, I'm just instructing my bank to pay that person. Right? It's not a kinyan, it's not kesef, it's not a shtar, it's not even a shtar. So if that's the case, if you look at a check that way, I'm just ordering my bank to pay someone, and you are holding that check that orders the bank to pay you, so then I hear what Pesachei Choshen is saying. That's like a shtar, the document. It has no value in itself. It just gives me the right to go to the bank and collect. Gives you the right to go to the bank and collect, so that's no difference than a shtar chov. The second way we learned what a check was, some poskim held it was like a hischayvus. It was that I'm obligating myself to pay you for whatever money I wrote over there, even though it doesn't say clearly I am chayiv to you. But we said that it's an anansari that you need to be mechayiv yourself. So that also, if that's shot in a check, there also we would say that that's like a shtar. Then you have a proof that I obligated myself to pay you, and if I lose that proof, or the other, your shomer loses that proof, that's also like a shtar. You're losing that right to prove that you can collect from me. But we brought Ramosha. Ramosha holds that a check is like kesef itself. He said that it was called payment, shmita. We said Asvara was that the fact that you can use it, it's negotiable, even if it's not money itself, at least it's Shabbat Kesef. It's no different than a spoon or a bowl. A spoon or a bowl you can use to eat, a check you can use to buy things with. It's no worse than money. You might not get the full base value, but it's worth at least whatever you could sell a $1,000 check for, a third party check, $950, whatever it is. So according to Ramosha, it would seem that a check would really be Kesef, and if I'm asking you to watch my check, watch my paycheck, you could be that, according to Ramosha, you would be chayiv as a shomer, because it would have a din of kesef, not as a din of shtar. So the second issue, checks, I think, will be a machlokus, that will be a machlokus between Ramosha and the other poskim, what shot in a check is, how that will work out. The third issue is an interesting shaila about a kamiya.
You know that people, they still do them. But certainly in former times they did them more, that if someone wasn't feeling well, they would go to a Gadol, a Talmid Chacham, a Mekubal, and he would write a Kamiya with the person's name in it, and different Shemas of Hashem, and they still have, there are still some Mekubalim that write them, and I heard that there's a Kamiya that Rabbi Kiyager wrote. So, the Chacham Shlomo, or Shlomo Kluger, had a Shaila, where someone asked a shomer to watch his kamiya, and that shomer was negligent and lost the kamiya. Is he chayiv or not? So the Rosh Shlomo Kluger says that it's like a shtar chov. He says it's like he says two things. First of all, he says based on the shiur we had a couple of weeks ago, that in this case happened to be where the shomer had no idea that it was worth so much. He said, "Watch this piece of paper for me." He didn't say it cost me $10,000 to get it. So he says the same thing like we learned, that if I give you something to wash and I say it's silver and it's really gold, you're only chayev as worth the silver, so you thought it was a piece of paper. So in that case he said that the shomer didn't realize he's only chayev for whatever that value of that piece of paper would be. That was his case. But then he says even if the shomer would know that this is an expensive kamiya, right, he told him this is expensive, it's $10,000, be careful with it, and the shomer knew about it, Rav Shlomo Kluger Paskins, this is in Simon Shin Mem, if he paskins that you're pater because it's a shtar chov. He says that dom l'shtaris dain bo din shmira dain guf amamin. It's not guf amamin, even though you could do a lot of things with it. It's no different than a shtar. A shtar, I take this paper and I go collect $1,000 with. A kamiya, I put on myself and it makes me feel better. But that's what a Shlomo Kluger says. The Minchas Pitim wants to add another svara to say that the person should be pater, the shomer should be pater, and that's another sugi we spoke about a few years ago, and that's his famous nesivus. The nesivus holds that something that is only worth money to me, it only has value to me, is not considered mammon, that if you damage it, you're chayiv. Right? His case, his raya was from the case, if I have rights to go through someone's field to get to my house, I'm surrounded by other people's property, but I bought the right to go through, and someone took that from me somehow. So I can't force him to pay me because that right to walk through his lawn to my house, I couldn't sell it to anyone else. Who wants to buy the right to walk through Reuven's yard to get to my house? So the Nesivus held, he brings a right from the Mishnah, the Enoksuvus, that something that you can't sell, something that's worth only to yourself, is not right, sentimental for sure, is not chayiv for nezikin. So the Minchas Pitim says also the kamiya is usually this kamiya that he was talking about must have been, and it's many times like that, where the gadol writes it specifically for this chola, it has that person's name in it, so it's not worth anything to anyone else. So if the shomer was negligent in it, even if the shomer would have been mazik it, he would be pater because it has no value to anyone else. That's the second Tanya of the Minchas Pitim says to support the Chacham Shlomo's Psak for a different reason. Right, so we have once again two reasons, or three reasons why the Shomer should be Pater over here. The first reason we said he didn't realize how much it was worth. Even if he realized how much it was worth, the Chacham Shlomo says it should be like a Shtar Chov, which this paper allows me to do something, and the Minchas Pitim adds the Nesivus as far that since it's only worth something to me, it has no tort value that I can make a claim against you. Now if you recall Nogeir the Nesivus, we spoke out of Shlomo Zalman Arabach, and the Minchas Pitim at the end says the same Svara, that the Nesivus, he says, is only talking about something that you have a right that are only worth something to you, has no value that someone damages it. But if you own something, if you own a pair of eyeglasses, that's the case we were talking about, if you own a pair of eyeglasses that you couldn't sell to anyone for anything because it's only your prescription, it's no good for anyone else, but it's something that you actually own, it's something that you bought, it's something that you own, it's real property, the fact that I can't sell it to anyone doesn't exclude it from being property, some value to me. And if someone breaks my glasses, they're going to be chayiv as a mazik because it's something that I own. It's not like rights to something. To make rights worth something, there has to be rights that I can sell. But if it's something real, like my glasses, so that's something that has value and you have to pay me for those glasses. So the Mishnah Pitim says the same thing would be with this kamiyah. A kamiyah that I can use that helps me, it cures me, is valuable to me, and you'd have to pay for it. Why isn't it like a shtarcho? So the Mishnah Pitim and Archos and Mishpatim, they both say of Zara that it's no different than an aspirin. It's no different than... They talk about halacha they bring from the Beis Yosef, had a shuvah in the Hafkas Rochel, that there was a certain type of cup that had medicinal value. So, right, it's not worth the value of the silver, it's not worth the value of the paper. But what goes into it is chachma, whatever goes into it, it makes it cure. There's no difference between an aspirin curing you and a kamiya curing you. So that's something that has real value. In other words, he's saying don't get fooled by the fact that you spend a lot more money for this than the actual material is worth. Right, that's where you might think it's an angle for a moment. Right, the shtar chov, the paper is worth less than a penny. It's what makes it valuable is the fact that with it you can collect money. Here also, this piece of paper that has the kamiya written is worth nothing. What makes it valuable is the fact that it'll cure me. So he says, no, there's a difference between those cases. Because by shtar chov, it has no value at all. It just gives me the right to collect money from someone. It can't do anything. But a kamiya can do something. A kamiya can cure you. A kamiya has intrinsic value. It can cause a cure. It can effect a cure. So a kamiya, he says, will be gufa maman. Like the most I was thinking of before was like a software program. Right? The disk itself is worth less than a dollar. But because that person spent a lot of money into it and research, he charges $100 for it. And that's goofy moment to you, because with that software program you can do all your taxes. You can do whatever you purchase that software program for. So that's goofy moment. If someone would damage it, he would have to pay you for it. And you can't say, well, this is only something that with it you can accomplish something. No, that it itself is doing it. And then I was thinking, well, Yaakov was saying it should be no different than a book. Right? A book is paper. Right? The book tells you how to fix your car. So you will say the book is not goofy moment. The book has no intrinsic value, because what are you going to do? Hit something, you could swat flies with it. That's what it's worth. But it's worth more than that, because you look at the book and it tells you how to fix your car. So that's real value. That's intrinsic value. An intrinsic value doesn't have to mean that you can melt it down and sell it as scrap. Intrinsic value means that you're buying something that is useful, that's something that can do something. So a kamiya certainly is useful. It cures the person. A book may even be less useful, because a book isn't, you know, it's a step removed. I think a book also will have intrinsic value, even though the paper's only worth $5, but the information is worth money. It's worth $10, $15. And if someone, a shomer, is watching a book for you and he's posheya, he won't have a heter that it's a shtar. It's not a shtar, it's real value. Even though the book itself doesn't do anything, you have to read it and use it. That's good for a moment, because that's what books do.
Yeah.
So I hear very well what the Minchas Pitim, what the Archos Mishpatim are saying, that a kamiya, even though at first glance it seemed like a shtar chov, it's something that you use in order to do something, but that's what most things are like. Most things you buy are things that you buy to do something with, and that kamiya can cure you, assuming that it's a real kamiya, so that has real value, and that's going to be like kesef and kalim, not like a shtar. Okay, so let's go to passports now. The Shalom Eishiv brings someone who wanted to say, and the case there was that someone was watching a passport as a shomer and he lost it with a Shia. So he first brought a mandam who said, a shita that said that it should be like a shtar. Then he says, no. He says, Fionias Daiti, that Posig made a mistake, because that's a shtar that you're using to collect money. That's called engu for a moment. But here, the passport you use. The passport is as usable as, he gives a mashal to Gemara, have on the Amud Aleph there, if you sell paper to a spice dealer, and you sell a document to a spice dealer, and he's going to use it to wrap his spices, so that paper has use. It's not that you don't need you're just using the paper to go collect $1,000. The passport you carry on the passport, and it lets you go wherever you need to go. It's something that you use. It's your ability to travel. It's not that you once you finish with it, now it's used up, and then you can throw it away. The password is something that you need, just like the spice dealer needs paper to wrap his spices. You need your passport to be able to travel. That's what the Shaul HaMeshiv, that's the way he starts. What? Because the deed, you... That's just proof that in case you... Someone comes and says, it's my car, so you pull it out and you'll get rid of him. But the passport, you use this passport to travel. You take this passport and you travel with it. The Evan Shasiya disagrees. The Archon Shvatim brings this, Evan Shu, I don't know who it is, the Evan Shasiya. But he says that he wants to make a chilek. He says that if you need a passport to travel, so maybe like you're saying, that's not real value. Stay home. The fact that I can't go travel, that's not real value, so I'll stay home. If it's like an internal passport, identity card, that they won't even let you stay in your house unless you have your identity card at all times, and you're going to have to spend money to get a new one. So that, he says, that's good for a moment, because that you need to stay where you are. That is something that's good for a moment. And then the Seven Shasiya says further that according to the Nesios HaMishpat, a passport is only good for the person who has the picture on it. So according to the Nesivas, he says, even if the passport was something that you needed to stay home, since it's only good for you, so it has no value to anyone else and need to be patur. So the Archon Shvatim says right away, you see the case of the Shaul HaMeshiv was where he had lent the passport to someone else, it was that they could use it. He says if the picture looks close enough, you could use it.
Israeli elections.
Okay. So he doesn't like that time. He says the passport is usable. And he says the Nesivas is no time. Like we said before, first of all, people disagree with the Nesivas. And over here, this is different. It's something that you really can use. It's not like it's a right to something. It's something you pay $60 for and you use it to travel. So the Archon Shvatim concludes like the Shaul HaMeshiv and holds that it's real value. It's a passport. Is like good for a moment. It's like the other cases we said, like a Camille said, and that would be the end. Except the truth is, I don't really understand it. I agree more with what Yaakov is saying. To me, it seems that a passport is nothing more than proving that I exist, proving that I'm a citizen, and if I prove that I'm a citizen, so then I'm allowed to travel, right? If I prove that I'm a citizen of my country, so then it allows me to travel. But it's not like a kamiya that cures me. It's not like a book that I could read and get information from and use. It's just something that enables me that if I have this proof, so then I can use it like a birth certificate. A birth certificate, I don't think anyone would say that that's gufa mamon. A birth certificate is like a deed. If something proves that I exist, if I need to prove that I exist for whatever reason, so I have this certificate that shows that I exist, even though I can't sell it to anyone else. But it's something that proves I exist. I know that won't make a difference, but the fact that all it does is prove that I exist, that's not gufa mamon. I can't do anything with it directly. It's not something I can use. It's not like a kamiya that will cure me, that'll help me feel better. It's not something that I can use. I would say a plane ticket. I suppose it costs money to replace a plane ticket, and you have a plane ticket. So you would say a plane ticket also is like a shtar. I paid money to get on the plane, but they won't let me go on the plane unless I have a proof that I paid for it. So my plane ticket is the proof that I have to for them to allow me to get onto the plane. Just like my shtar chov is the proof I need to be able to collect my money. So the passport is the proof that I need for them to allow me to be considered a citizen of the country that I can go travel. So unless the passports in those times were different, I really don't understand what they seem to be talking about different issues than the Nesivas, and it's whether I can stay home with it or not. But to me, it would seem that a passport is like any other shtar, like you said in the beginning. It's just a proof. It's a shtar that proves a fact that I exist, like a birth certificate. And as such, even though it costs money, it's $60 and it's something that costs money, it would seem that it would be something that a shomer would be patur on. to review what we've had tonight is we have a halacha that the rules of Shmira do not apply to Ashtar, do not apply to documents. We saw most poskim seem to hold, the Mechaber, the Ramah, the Tumim seem to hold, they do hold, that even if the Shomer Chinam was Posheya, even though he was negligent, he'll still be Pater, because it's Ashtar, it's removed from the complete Parsha of Shomrim. We don't say that he's a Mazik. We said this will apply to a Shtar Kinyan, applies to any Shtar, that document that just proves that I own certain property. We said a check will be a machlokus, whether a check is called a proof that I can go to the bank and he has to pay me, or is it real money because I have it in a real money. A kamiya seems to be clear that it has real value, it does something, it's no different than a book. A book also, we thought, would be real money, even though I don't have. It's not the paper that gives it the value. It's not the raw material that gives it the value, but I can do it with a book. Anyone could do with a book. A book is useful. I can work with it. I can do something with it. Then when it came to a passport, even though it seemed that most of the poskim, even those that disagreed, were considering a passport like a kamiya, like something that you use. With this you can travel. With this it's gufa mamon. With this you can go wherever you want. To me, and I think to many of us here, a few of us here, we thought that that should be no different than a proof that I exist. A passport also seems to be a shtar that proves that I exist, and if a shomer would lose that passport, even if it was through negligence, you would have a hard time collecting your money, that $60 plus the cost of the picture, whatever it costs, for his negligence, because he could say, I hold that this is, first of all, I hold that Shomer Chinam is part of Shia from a shtar, and I think he could say, I hold that this is a shtar. All it is a proof that you exist.